everyone, and welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm Rhiannon Huff, and I am here with my co-host, Tori Holman, and today we're covering a topic that I'm sure no one in the audience has ever experienced before, workplace stress. One of the most straightforward ways to handle workplace stress is to manage your workflow. Tori, this is something that I feel like we've always are reaching for on how we can balance this with everyday work life. And no matter what, I feel like there's always more work. We're always either overwhelmed, overstressed, overworked. And so there's just always that crazy amount of work to do. And it just never feels like it slows down. And you feel like you're always getting ready to catch up.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I, even in catching up with old friends or whatever, I say, hey, how's work going? And it's always, it's really busy. It's really busy. It's stressful. It feels like everyone is stressed and busy all the time. But I do think that there are some kind of small, easy changes that we can implement right now into our workflows. Ree, I know you have some tips and tricks. Would you just dive into maybe what your kind of top three are for managing workflow?
One of mine is to really have a good CMMS system software that can organize your day. With Fexa, it allows us to really individualize our system for what works best for us and customize it down to each and every step. And that has really helped our efficiency in what we've done so much. I've asked my team numerous times how they feel, and it's just night and day difference from when we switched over. The other thing is know your strengths and weaknesses. When I look for new team members for project management, one of the things I'm always looking for is organization. I always say I hire for what I'm not good at. However, organization is something that not everybody is the best at. And if you know that, you got to come up with your own system. And that starts all the way from each individual day with your reports to your emails to your, where am I going to start? I know for us, it's one of those things that you have a list at the beginning of the day and you say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to knock out. And you know what? Sometimes it's about who's screaming the loudest. So almost having that set list of, okay, if I get off track of what's going on, where can I go straight back to? And having just that system in and of yourself. And truly, if you know that organization isn't one of your strong suits, really, there's all different types and tricks in regards to taking classes on LinkedIn, ask your managers what they can do to help. Look at some of your coworkers, lean in on them on what that is, what they do. What are their top tricks for organizing their email or what their workflow throughout their day looks like? What works best for them? Do I start with my ETAs in the morning or do I start with follow-ups? What works best for you? And then also when you do get, you know, derailed and thrown off, basically just taking a minute, step back. I really check in with my teammates quite frequently about how you doing. And if I know that their workload is piled on, as a manager, one of my tips is just tell them, take a step, take a breath. I had one employee that would run to the gas station to get a Slurpee or something along those lines, just walking away from your computer. And I think as a manager, having that flexibility with your team is so crucial and realizing that, hey, they are overloaded. They are overwhelmed. Yes, we deal with emergencies. Yes, we deal with things that need to happen right here, right now. But once you get to those taken care of, that immediate need, walk away for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, do what you need to do to de-stress.
Yeah. No, I am in agreement with you totally, Rhiannon. And I think for me, with the software piece of it, my team uses Trello for just project management, task management. And I think that my best tip is honestly so simple. And that is to have a great list of the things that you need to do. Like, I will live and die on the hill of lists. Like, I am 100% in on that. And I think that sometimes I'm guilty of, I have my like daily task list, and sometimes that list gets so long because I'm not managing it properly. But if that list is something that you're checking in with first thing in the morning, right around maybe lunchtime, right after you get back from break, and then cleaning it up and checking things off that list before you clock out for the day is an easy way to manage that. For work like mine, right, where it's changing, what I'm doing every day is different. So Rhiannon, on your end, your project managers are engaging in the same process over and over in a lot of cases. That's not the case for me and my team, where it's just changing constantly. And we love that, but that does mean that we have to be so on top of how we're managing our time. And for me, the best way to do that is with a really solid list.
So I know that you and I were talking about burnout.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about burnout?
The world is so fast-paced. It's so fast-paced. And obviously, the best policy is to try to avoid burnout altogether. And that's what this episode is all about. How do we avoid stress that eventually leads to burnout? But being aware that burnout is a thing that happens. And there are people who are probably way smarter than we are and have a lot more expertise who have valuable resources on how to deal with burnout in particular. But just recognizing that it's a thing is the first step to addressing that as a problem.
Right.
Think about how much of your workplace stress comes from poor communication. Someone doesn't respond to an email, or they don't, a lot of it has to do with a lack of response or a response that doesn't fully address everything that the initial communication was asking about, right? I'm guessing like at least half of your workplace stress probably comes from poor communication. Or even when it's face-to-face, you're on a Zoom call, whatever, there's something's happening with communication that is causing stress, anxiety, worry, whatever that is. It's a lot of it is just related to other people and a lack of communication, poor communication, right?
Absolutely. For that, living in the FM facilities maintenance world, I think you said earlier, we're juggling many hats, and we're putting out those fires constantly. It's what we do. Somebody had a quote on LinkedIn, facilities maintenance manager, because superhero wasn't part of the term or wasn't the term. And that's exactly what it is. But you look at these fires that we're putting out, and you look at your employees, and you look at, sometimes it's departments, internal department communication, sometimes it's client to provider miscommunication. I guess the first step is knowing when there is that communication lack and in finding that balance and calling it out. And a lot of times, a lot of it, what that has to do with in the miscommunication is differences in personalities. And one of those reasons why is because I've tried and failed. I'm going to be honest. As a manager, I haven't done everything right, of course. We all make mistakes. Sure. We all do things differently. But as a manager, I've grown throughout the years, and I think this has been a big help. And what I'm talking about is DISC. It's just something that throughout the years and learning different personality types has just helped me discover how to have better and more effective communication with each one of my team members, each one of my managers, my clients, in recognizing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, Rhiannon, what we're both eyes, I think, on the DISC profile. And I would agree, and I'll let you dive into breaking down DISC a little bit, but I would totally agree that it gives you a look into what motivates this person, what stresses this person out, how do they want to be communicated to, just different pieces like that, that when you really think about, I noticed that this communication between me as an I and this person as a C didn't go that well. Why is that? Oh, it's because a C wants to be communicated to this way, and I as an I prefer to communicate this way. And it's not that I don't like this other person. It's just that we have different preferences that has to do with our personality.
Right.
Ree, would you just break down the four personality types?
Again, this is something I've learned the hard way over the years, that when I have a conversation, whether it be, we'll just say constructive criticism conversation with one of my employees, I can't have the same conversation with one employee and then turn around and have it the exact same way with somebody else. I, as a manager, as a leader, have to adjust and have to adjust how I approach different people. So D is dominant. And those are they tend to be very confident. They emphasize facts and bottom line. Mm-hmm. They don't want a mm-hmm. bunch of chit chat or random, how's the weather? Mm-hmm. They want to know, what do you need to talk to me about? Give me the facts, not all the smush and mush mm-hmm. in between. And let's get this mm-hmm. done. They're in yep. charge. They're decisive. They're data oriented. Then you have the I in mm-hmm. DISC, which is the influencer. And these are your party mm-hmm. or party people. I don't want to say that. They're the life of the party. They tend to be
yeah.
open and they emphasize. They love to talk. They're people focused. Mm-hmm. Whereas Ds are mm-hmm. more data driven. The influencers are more people focused. Then you have the S. They tend to be just your steady Eddies. They are mm-hmm. dependable. They're that person that is going to buy the same shirt in 5 different colors, because why not? It works. If it's worked, why are you going to break it? So
yep.
they're those people that they really are. They're friendly. They are supportive. They want you to feel mm-hmm. good. They want other people to feel good. Mm-hmm. They're also that people. They relate to people. So then we have a C mm-hmm. and they're conscientious. The Cs, they tend to place emphasis on quality. Sometimes you look at different professions, like accountants, a lot of times tend to be Cs. They like numbers. They like data. They want process. They want procedure. You need to follow it. A, B, and C. Rhiannon, do not skip B. That is what it says on the paper. That's just how your Cs tend to be. They want to, they're more quiet. They're mm-hmm. more soft-spoken if you are going to talk to them. So they're very organized. So that's just a quick overview of DISC. Again, this is something I could have a complete separate podcast of, but when you really lean in and listen to understand, not listen to react, which again, sometimes is a hard time for us eyes because we always got something to say. We always want to react. But yeah. when you listen to understand, you can really pick up on cues of what these people, which category these people tend to focus on.
Yeah. And I think the other important thing to note about DISC is that generally people are not just one quadrant. You're usually in at least two, probably three. There are the occasional unicorns that have some tendencies in all four quadrants. So if you, as Rhiannon was describing that, if you felt like, hey, I identified with more than one of those, it's probably true that you have some tendencies in all, although there typically is one quadrant that's a little bit more dominant. And Rhiannon, I also want to tie into kind of what you said, listening to understand. That's one piece of communication. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but reflective listening to understand. This is a really important concept for quality communication. It's something that applies not just in the workplace, but you'll find it to be really valuable in your personal life, especially if you're having intense conversations with close friends, family members, spouses, whatever it is. It's just a great resource. So reflective listening, this is just the idea that when someone communicates something to you, instead of just saying, cool, bro, or responding with a similar experience, that's a pretty common response when someone is sharing something more intense or deep with you. It is simply to not parrot, but to paraphrase back to the person or to reflect back to the person what they've said to you. So if Rhiannon came to me and said, oh my gosh, Tori, I'm having thus and such situation with one of my team members and it's difficult for X, Y, and Z reasons, I would say, wow, Rhiannon, that sounds super frustrating that A, B, and C is going on. And so what this does is it A, validates the other person and lets them know, hey, I see what's going on. I recognize that whatever emotions you're experiencing are real and valid and important. And the second thing that it does just gives space for that person to clarify, to make sure that I, as the listener, really understand. So if I reflect that back to Rhiannon, it sounds like A, B, and C are going on, then she can say, yes, to A and C, but B, no, it's more like this, right? And so it allows for clarity of communication. And I have found this to be so valuable in both yes. my professional and personal lives. So if you key into that, be really mindful of that, make it a habit as you're engaging in intentional conversations, you'll find that it's going to improve your communication dramatically. Absolutely. Dramatically.
And it takes away something that creates a lot of stress in the workplace and gets us in trouble sometimes is that mm-hmm. assumption. us assuming we know.
Yes.
And yes. I say all the time, did you assume that or is that a fact? And yep. I push on my employees sometimes when they feel like client is feeling this, client thinks this. Okay, did you ask? Hey, what's going on in this situation? Here's what I'm hearing. What do you think about this? Is that correct? And sometimes it's getting a little bit past those a little bit uncomfortable communications that we have to just say, hey, you sound a little frustrated. How can I help you? How can I support you further?
Right.
And sometimes in the past, that's been like, why would you ask if somebody's frustrated? You don't want to escalate the situation. But it really right. does make a difference when those people feel heard. They feel understood.
Yes.
And you are
yes.
getting facts, not just assumptions. Last and final topic here, we talked a little bit about DISC and what each one of those personality yeah. types were and how we use it every single day. But I'm going to dive into just a little tips on which each category or personality type kind of falls under stress. So D, mm-hmm. those dominant people, they fear loss of control, the vulnerability or failure.
Yeah.
So when you think of something in one of your teammates that a situation is going wrong, out of their control, they can't do anything about it. Know that this is a D personality under stress. They may become demanding or controlling. So this is the response to their stress. They're working harder. They're very yeah. impatient. They're not really going to express those feelings. So if you know that you are working with somebody that has a D personality or dominant personality and that they are stressed, they need time. Yeah. By themselves, they're not that people person that wants to be surrounded by people all the time. They need that time to rest and recover. And just give them that yeah. time to act independently, take a breather, and come back later. That's yeah. what I would suggest with the D personality. Influencers, their steady state, again, of just these people person, this life of the party, what they fear
yeah.
is conflict, rejection, or isolation. So yeah. actually complete opposite a little bit of that D personality. They don't want to be isolated when they're stressed. They want to know that they have somebody in their corner. They don't like that fear of rejection. So under stress, yeah. you may see their brain working 1,000 miles a minute. They always mm-hmm. talk fast. They're going to talk like this. They may bring up a joke or something that's completely off topic to basically gear away from the negative situation or that conflict. Yeah. They may be more likely to talk about their feelings. So think about that mm-hmm. as you're hearing somebody talk about what they're stressed mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. If they're stressed, this is somebody too that they may become moody. So for that, as a supervisor, as a coworker, reach out, spend time with them, slow yep. down, let them know that you are there for them. Allow them space to create that uplifting environment for them, encouraging.
Yeah.
They're those ones that need that attaboy. Like, you're doing good. So yeah. before you go into and tell them something's wrong, say, hey, you've been doing a really good job this week at this. Let me help you here. So just allow mm-hmm. them to express themselves. Allow them to come to you, to talk to you. They might spill their guts out and just know that's normal and that's yeah. what they need at that time. Next, we got the S, that steady Eddie. They fear the loss of stability. They don't like change. Yeah. They don't like offending people. So if they feel that they've messed up with a client and offended a client or something along those lines, mm-hmm. that is going to really cause them stress. They do not like when people are upset with them. So they mm-hmm. want to make sure that they're doing the right thing. And these are these people that are going to be constantly people pleasers. Refer them to close friends and family. Again, that support system. They are those people person. Sometimes these are those people that you need those coaching conversations with. Here's a conflict situation, which they don't like. Let's role play this conversation. Mm-hmm. So they feel a little bit more comfortable going into that. So just they mm-hmm. seek security. They like that comfort. They want those security blankets. Last but not least is our conscientious C. So they fear being wrong. They do not want to be wrong. They don't like being mm-hmm. criticized and mm-hmm. they don't like strong emotion. Again, they're fact-driven. When they're dealing with somebody that is an I, which is the opposite of the quadrant to them, and they're talking to them, and the C is overwhelmed. Their brain is on overdrive listening to mm-hmm. this other person talk. So under stress, they'll become critical themselves. They don't like to be criticized. Mm-hmm. They'll be those ones that get defensive real quick, and they'll dwell on issues that you may mm-hmm. feel that are minute issues. Why are they stuck on this one issue? It's so small. To them, mm-hmm. again, it may be that broken process. They didn't go A, B, C, D. They went A, C, back to B, back to all over the place. That's not okay with them. Mm-hmm. Again, recognizing these mm-hmm. personality traits. They may not want to, like the D, have all these people surrounding them. Give them simple ways that they can actually fix the solution. Help them come up with a solution to the problem and give them that list of, okay, here's mm-hmm. what the problem is. Here's what we're going to do. So in stressful situation, they definitely may engage in more emotional attacks. So they're going to be that person that is bitey when they're stressed out, and that mm-hmm. person that is mm-hmm. Really attuned to, I didn't know this. You told me it was this way. I did it that way. Sometimes we got the gray areas. So mm-hmm. anyway, all this being said, share as much information with them as possible. Be reasonable. Again, assign specific mm-hmm. relatable data. With all of these mm-hmm. people in mind, we ourselves can look at how we can interact with all these different personality traits and how mm-hmm. we can be better as managers, as mm-hmm. coworkers, and realizing that everybody handles stress differently. Everybody yes. handles pressure yes. differently. Everybody handles yes. workloads differently. Everybody handles burnout differently. So mm-hmm. really be in tune with those people that you work with on a daily basis, those clients. Mm-hmm. See where they mm-hmm. are, what you recognize for them, what those patterns are, and just how you can more effectively speak to them and get through of them or what they prefer. And sometimes it's even just asking. It's so weird yep. to just say, hey, mm-hmm. how would you prefer this conversation be laid out? Again, with a D yeah. personality, they want the time, they want how long it's going to take, and they want exactly what you're going to go over. Sometimes it's just mm-hmm. asking people, and it's okay to ask. And that is a de-stressor for everybody involved.
Yes.
It will yes. de-escalate absolutely. Any type of situation, because again, everybody feels heard. Everybody feels that they will be more effective, be more productive, because they feel secure in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's an important quality for all of the quadrants to just have that flexibility and the yes. willingness to adapt to the other people around them. Like, we all have to have that quality. If we're working professionals in 2024, you have to be flexible. And partially because it's just a necessity of the job, but also because hopefully you really care about the people that you work with and you want what's best for them. And in an effort to reduce that stress, just ask, clarify what's going on. Clear communication, y'all. Like, along with lists, this is another hill that I will die on, that yes. we should all die on.
Absolutely.
Is just that it has to be clear. If it's not clear, then you can't expect the other person to read your mind.
Sometimes, yes. even in this world, when you hear, or our industry, you hear, what do you hear complaints about most? It's communication. That's what clients get frustrated about is, I don't know what's going on. Nobody's communicating with me. They mm-hmm. told me they'd get back to mm-hmm. me. They didn't get back to me. So that over communication mm-hmm. of, and again, letting people know ahead of time, hey, how would you like to be communicated with? What works best for you? And asking those questions that sometimes mm-hmm. they feel weird or awkward. And it really is not at mm-hmm. the end of the day. It just makes things clear. And just last point here is, if anybody's interested in this DISC profile, I know there's lots of free quizzes that you can do online. Just look up DISC profile. We do in-depth mm-hmm. ones through NAS at work. And if you're more interested, mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to reach out to me on LinkedIn or whatever way you mm-hmm. would like. I'm more than happy to answer questions about this. And if this is something that you want more information on, let us know.
We'll include some resources in today's show notes, so you can check those out. And the DISC profile is geared specifically for the workplace, but you can find connections between DISC and other personality profiles like the Enneagram, like Myers-Briggs. Yes. They're all more or less the same, but DISC is just really helpful and specific to the workplace. Great episode. Thanks, Rhiannon, for all of your insights, yes. as always.
Tori, it's a pleasure. This has been another good episode. work flow management, communication, DISC profiles, whether it be something that we're stressing about at work or even in our personal life, this is something we can all relate to. And if you're able to take home even just a little nugget of this, then my job is complete here. And thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, y'all. Remember that being proactive in your stress management is going to help you just avoid stress, but also avoid burnout. So hopefully some of these resources stuck out to y'all. Let us know in the comments below, what are some of your stress management tips and tricks? We'd love to hear from y'all. And until next time, keep innovating.